So what we're going to do is we're going to, well, first of all, we're going to read this passage here and we'll think about it. So it says it's Jesus and his disciples, so there's quite a lot of them. But on their way, he came to a village. We know that village is called Bethany because John's Gospel tells us that. And he came to Bethany, where a woman named Martha opened her home to him and the disciples as well, of course. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, and as you say, she stood over her, is literally what it says. She stood over him and she said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself? Tell her to help me." And then Jesus says, "Martha, Martha." I don't know how, I'm always intrigued to imagine the tone of voice again, but I think he slowed her down. "Martha, Martha." You know, she's like this. "Martha, Martha." The Lord answered, "You are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better and will not be taken away from her." So let's meet the family first of all. Why are we going to do this? And we're going to look at this family in John 11 and 12 especially in the next few weeks. Why are we going to do this? Well, because it's a sort of domestic scene. I think we can all relate to it. And it's about your life and mine, and you know how we live our lives in our homes and in our relationships as well. And hopefully it'll help us. So we'll start with meeting the family. And we don't see them all here. But let's just see what information there is here. So Jesus and the disciples, they come to this village. The village is Bethany. Now Bethany is just a couple of miles outside of Jerusalem. Next week I'll actually show you a map of it. But Bethany is just a couple of miles outside of Jerusalem, to the east of Jerusalem. And we're told there that Martha opens her home. So she seems to be the woman of the house. We don't know at this point who the man of the house is, but she's got a sister, Mary. So there's two parts of the jigsaw, Martha and Mary in Bethany, in Martha's house. And the story sort of flows from there. When we look at other places in the New Testament, we find out a little bit more. We find out about it being Bethany, and we find out that they've also got a brother, and the brother is called Lazarus. And he's a major figure in John's Gospel. Brother is called Lazarus. But then also we find Mary on another occasion anointing Jesus in the house of a man called Simon the Leper in Bethany. And we wonder who he is. And all the other family are there. Mary, Martha and Lazarus are at this house. And Mary does the anointing. And Martha's doing the serving. And so we wonder, is Simon the Leper, first of all, doesn't tell us, but is he a leper whom Jesus had healed? And that's why they can be at his house, because if he was still a leper, he wouldn't be there anyway, and they couldn't be with him, according to the laws of those days. But also, some people say, well, is Simon the Leper maybe the father of Mary and Martha and Lazarus? And some other people say, well, maybe Simon the Leper is the husband of Martha. Well, we don't really know all of these things, but there's a family in there. And there's a family dynamic, and families are always very, very interesting. It's a privilege sometimes, you know, when you get to know people, to start to piece together the family. I do that this week with the funeral I had in Plockton, and just to start with Shauna, dear Shauna, who passed away this week, and to, you know, just start finding out who all the pieces of her family were. Families are fascinating. I know you all cherish your families. And, you know, I love having, you know, different parts of my family in different parts of the country. I love having my cousins up in Gareloch that I can relate to from time to time. These things are really, really wonderful. Families are such a a precious and beautiful thing. But in this story, it reminded me of something that Aviel was showing us last Sunday. He's a real gadget person, Aviel. Last Sunday at lunch, he had his flashy iPhone out, and he was showing us how it could take pictures. Probably some of you got one. It could take portraits of people, and the background would be blurred, and just the person is in focus. You got one of them, sure? Yeah, I thought you might. And this is what happens in this story. It's like, you know, the disciples, Lazarus, Simon Leper, if he's about, they all just fade. And all you've really got in the story is Mary and Martha, the two sisters, the dynamic between them, and the dynamic between the two of them, and Jesus. So think about your own family for a minute. Your own family. Who is the focus of your family? Who's determining the way your family behaves? And, you know, what is it that is kind of the controlling factor in the ethos of your family? You know, what's kind of determining the way your family is? Or thinking about last Wednesday night, we're studying the culture of a place in the frontline thing. Just thinking about the way we do things around here. What is it that makes your family do things the way you do things in your family? You know, what's controlling the way your family operates? Because every family is different. And sometimes, you know, you go and visit someone and you're looking around thinking, this isn't like my house. This isn't like the way I do things in my house. And you may think it's better or you may think it's worse, but every family has its culture, every family has its way of doing things, and every family has its way of operating, every family has the boss, and every family has, you know, everyone knows their place, there's a pecking order. What is it that determines the culture of your family? And, you know, in terms of the story, what difference is Jesus making to that culture in your family? So, we're thinking about culture, and in the culture of Jesus' day, whatever you think of it, the fact is the role of women was a very, very clearly determined thing. And the role of women generally in Jewish culture was to be in charge of the way the home was run. And to run the home. And to look after the children, especially the female children. And a woman wasn't generally thought of as the one who would have the education. And so many rabbis of Jesus' day would say, we don't teach women. Like I say, like it or not, that's the way it was. We don't teach women, we only teach men. And in this story, that's not what's happening. In this story, one of the women is very countercultural. Mary sits at Jesus' feet. She's not the woman of the house. And in this story, the rabbi, Jesus, teaches the woman. Now, Jesus is immediately telling us that he is not necessarily in agreement with the way the culture is in that home or in his society. And that Jesus is commending in this story the person who the culture says should not be sitting at Jesus' feet, but whom the culture says should be running around preparing the meal for a lot of guests, Jesus and presumably the 12 disciples. And so in this story, Jesus' sympathies seem to lie in a different place to the sympathies of the culture. And that's interesting. In other words, Jesus is sitting in judgment on his own culture, just as he is the one who can judge our culture, the culture of our home and the culture of our country. And Jesus does not rubber stamp our culture. Jesus does not say, you know, whatever you do is fine. Jesus is always counter-cultural. He always wants to change things because everything can be changed for the better. So, you know, in your own life then, in your own culture, and think of our culture, and think of your home's culture, where's the information coming into your home to tell you how to behave? You know, what is it? Is it coming in from your Bible? Is it coming into your home from your tradition, from your background, from your parents? Is it coming into your home from, you know, all the different information media that we have available? And is someone in America telling you what to do? Is someone, you know, who's got a platform displaying whatever they think about life telling you what to do? Is someone telling you how to dress? You know, is someone telling you how to think about this issue? You know, what is it that's determining the culture of your home? And in this story, it's very clear that Jesus is the one who is determining, or seeking to determine, the culture of this home. And we need to open the door to that and keep it open, always. Because if we don't do that, then our children and ourselves and everyone in our houses, everyone in our country, will be swayed here and there by all kinds of different values that come and they go and they change and they sweep people along with them, and they put some people over the edge. They leave some people in the gutter. They leave some people miserable. They destroy people. You know, there's no virtue in being swept along by whatever's just going on in the world and not having firm and clear roots. And the roots that we would seek to have are in Jesus. But Martha doesn't get it. Martha makes an accusation to Jesus. Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, don't you care?" And so on. So the situation is that you can, if you can picture it, you know, Jesus is there with his disciples, and maybe others from the house as well are there, and they're sitting with Jesus. They're enjoying fellowship together, and Jesus is teaching them. And Martha is in the background. And you know, you ever try to sit in a, you know, and just enjoy company when someone's clattering around in the background? This is what's happening. Martha is clattering around in the background, probably making a little bit of, no, we shouldn't judge Martha, but you know, maybe making a bit of extra noise just to make the point that she's about to make with Jesus. Because she comes and she says this thing to Jesus. She stands over him and she says, "Lord," we'll come back to that word in a minute, "don't you care that my sister has left me to do the work by myself?" Again, I wonder what her tone of voice was, but you know, the words are words that she must have, even as she said them, recognized that they were disrespectful and they were inappropriate and they were a result of the fizz that she was in. Now, if you're in that position in your life, and it happens to us all, there's where you can learn the most about yourself and about Jesus. You know, if you catch yourself sometimes accusing Jesus especially, and if you catch yourself, you know, just really in a fizz and turning stuff over in your head, they should be doing that, and they should, you know, if you're like that in your mind, stop yourself and say, or maybe it has to be afterwards, say, you know, here's a chance to really learn about myself. Why did I get like that? Why did I speak like that? Because you're revealing your heart in a way that you won't perhaps reveal your heart at other times. And it's telling you things about yourself. And, you know, your worst times are the best opportunities for you to learn about yourself and about Jesus. Because they're the times that really expose what's in you. So Martha is distracted. And there are three words there that describe it. The first one, distracted, means that she's pulled from all directions. That's what it literally means, that she's pulled from all directions. And no one's pulling her. It's all in her own head. And then there's two other words Jesus uses. You're worried and you're upset. Troubled is the word there. You're worried, you're anxious, and you're troubled. So Martha's pulled in all directions, she's anxious and troubled, but it's all in her own head. Because Mary is the other woman in the house, and she is not anxious and upset and worried and troubled and pulled in all directions. We create our own anxiety, our own fizz and our own agitation by the way that we think. Those of you who watch the snooker, you get plenty of chance for the next 2 weeks. And you tell the people who win in the end are the people who can control what's going on in their heads. The people who can just stay calm when the pressure's on. People with that kind of character. And here in Martha's house, Martha is fizzing. And it's on her head. Now what's happening here is she's trying to meet expectations. She knows what the culture says she should be. And so she's trying to be that. She's trying to be the woman who keeps house. The woman who manages the home well. The woman whom others will say, you know, when Jesus and the disciples came, Martha really put on a good show, and she really did well. And that's what she's trying to do. So she's maybe hearing other people. I'm not saying she is, but she maybe is. Now, I know that often when we come to this passage, we think, I'm like Martha, or I'm like Mary. It's not like that. This is not a story about two different personalities. We actually don't get told in the story what the personality of Mary or Martha is. Mary actually might be someone who gets very kind of busy herself at times. And Martha might be someone who's perfectly capable of sitting still. We don't know their personalities. It's not for us to think of it in this way. What we should be seeing is that here is someone who is Martha trying to meet the expectations of her culture, the expectations of the culture that she lives in and the people who are around her. Whereas Mary is listening to Jesus. Someone's listening to the culture and someone's listening to Jesus. And the one who's listening to the culture gets a rebuke from Jesus. And the one who's listening to Jesus is commanded. That's the key to this whole story. So it's actually not for us to say, well, I'm a Martha or I'm a Mary. Don't do that. Because it's not, we don't know what their personalities are. We don't actually know that. It's just, here's someone who says, I need to do what I'm expected to do. And someone else says, I know what I'm expected to do, but Jesus is here. And that's more important. So it's about lordship. It's about the lordship of Jesus. She says to Jesus, Lord. But who's Lord in that house? Martha is Lord in her mind at that moment. Because you cannot say to Jesus, Lord, and then tell him he's wrong, can you? That's what she does. Say, Lord, don't you care? I care, but you don't care. My sister's left me to do the work by myself. She shouldn't leave me to do. I know what should be happening here. You don't seem to, Jesus. Tell her to help me. I know that that's what should be happening. She should be helping me, and you should be telling her to help me. Now that's a frightening, it's blasphemous actually, what she's doing there. You know, she's saying Jesus doesn't care. She's saying she knows better than Jesus. She's telling Jesus what to do, and yet, ironically, she calls him Lord. Do you ever do that in your prayers? You ever say, Lord, will you do this? And Lord, see that situation? I want you to do this. And Lord, I really, really, really care about that person. Why don't you care as much about them as I do? Do you ever find yourself doing that? If you listen in your prayers, listen to Martha. Martha is actually thinking of herself as right. I'm right. And Jesus is wrong. She's appointed herself to do the keeping. She's confident that the way she thinks about the situation must be right. And her motives are about herself and how she'll be perceived in the culture in which she lives. And so Martha has this amazing opportunity to learn a very great deal about herself. And whenever we find ourselves in collision course with Jesus, accusing Jesus, maybe in our prayers, then stop and say, here's my chance to become a better person. Let's move on a verse there, 41 and 42. Only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. You know, our culture is a culture that is exceedingly demanding on all of us. It's very demanding. You know, you're expected today to know stuff. You know, our culture is shaming culture when it comes to, like, didn't you hear what happened in the village? Don't you know what's going on in the world? Don't you know what the latest thing is in music? Or don't you know that there are tickets on sale for this? Or don't you know? And it's like that. And so to know, we've got to be connected in all sorts of ways. And it's a tyranny. It's a tyranny. And our culture places so many demands. There's so many administrative demands today in our culture. And there's so many opportunities, and we feel we've got to grab them all. And there's so many new things to watch, and so many new activities to do. And we can run ourselves ragged trying to keep up. Trying to keep up with others. And it's all just this big cultural voice that's speaking into our lives and saying, you're expected to be this. And it's, you know, it's insidious. You may not even notice it's happening to you, or that it has happened to you over the last 20 years. Things have changed a great deal, and you've changed with it. You may not even notice because it's gradual. And you want sometimes just to be able to get off and stop that. Well, here's Jesus giving you that opportunity. In fact, commanding you, saying, look, you need to sit down. And you need to set yourself apart from everything that's making demands upon you. Because you're the culture of your home, the culture of your family, the culture of your village, the culture of your society is not being determined by me, Jesus says. I, who am your Lord. It's being determined in a way that is destructive of your humanity. And you're frazzled. So, well, we know that Martha does learn, because we'll come across it again in John. But the hospitality here that we're being encouraged to show, it's not so much about, you know, taking Jesus in and feeding him. It's just like, what place does Jesus have in your life? Now, is Jesus coming into your life at any point? And when he does, who's the Lord? Is he there so that you can tell him what you need and tell him what you want? Or is he there as your Lord so that you can sit at his feet? And are you giving him time for that? Or are you so busy trying to service what your culture expects of you, like Martha, that you don't have time anywhere in your day to really sit at peace with Jesus and receive from him? Because in reality, you know, we never host Jesus. He hosts us. He is the Lord. He's not coming into our house. He's not coming into our lives for a little while we have our reading in the morning. We're presenting ourselves before him. He's the Lord. He's the one who's in charge. And so what Martha should have simply done is, you know, Lord, I know I'm expected at this moment by my culture to make the meal. Do you want the meal now? Well, no, I don't. Maybe he would have said that. Maybe no, I don't. Martha, I didn't come into your house for food. I came into your house to feed you. Oh, right. I'm not in your life, Jesus says, so that you can do lots of stuff for me. I'm in your life so that I can minister to you. As Christians, sometimes we think, right, what happens is we receive Jesus, we're forgiven, we're saved, you know, from the consequence of our sins, we're in God's family. Now we've got to get on with being Christians and serving. But it's not really what Christianity is about. What is Christianity about? Christianity is about Jesus. And so Jesus says to you and me, do you know who I am? Your Lord. Well, that's what Martha said. But he wasn't Lord in Martha's life, because Martha then told him he didn't care and that he needed to do things for her. Do you know who I am, Roddy? Do you know who I am? Your Lord. Yes, and why are you trying to tell me what to do? Why are you telling me that I could be doing things better? Why are you telling me that I don't care? Who am I in your life, Roddy? Your Lord. Well, where's the evidence of that, Roddy? Well, look at all I do for you. That's what I did very much. Look at all I do for you. This week, one of the great Christian leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ died and went home to be with Jesus, a man called George Verwer, who was founder of the organization Operation Mobilization, which is the organization Morag works with in the Gulf. And Ruth Schilliger used to work with as well out in Central Asia. A massive worldwide organization that has been probably responsible more than any in the world today for evangelism in the world and encouraging evangelism. Incredible organization. George Verwer, Jamie Stewart in London, well, he's not in London now, in Chippenham, sent me just a note of that yesterday. George Verwer's died. George Verwer was a great influence on Jamie when he went to work with, on the Logos 2 ship, if you remember that, whenever it was, 25 years ago or something. And he met George Verwer, had a big influence in Jamie's life. Who am I in your life, George Verwer? Jesus might say, look at all I do for you. But it's not like that. Because it's not about how much we do. It's not about our great service like Martha, serving this huge crowd that's come into our house. Who am I in your life? Am I really your Lord? Do you really stop to listen to me? Do you really sit down and put aside everything so that you can just be in my presence and receive from me? Do you really give me that? Do you really wait until I've given you your marching orders before you start marching? Do you really listen? Am I really your Lord? What's Christianity about? It's about not having Jesus in our house for us to do whatever we want to do for him. It's about us being with Jesus to listen to him and let him tell us what he wants us to do for him. And that may not be anything like the same thing. Mary has chosen what is better. And get this, it will never, ever, ever, ever be taken away from her. Never be taken away. Anything that you receive from Jesus, any time you spend listening to Jesus, is time that will never be lost. Time that will never, ever diminish you, but only bless and benefit you forevermore.